Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful morning here in upcountry South Carolina. Good day to you. My name's Brad Zockel. You're listening to the Questions About Heaven podcast, and I am technically outside today. Well, I want to be honest, I'm right at the edge of the two open barn doors in our barn studio. I've moved away from the confines of our middle studio as we do most of our recording, as I'm gathered over here in the cooler times near over to the stove, and you've seen our bookshelves and things in the barn. Well, it's too nice this morning. I decided I needed to get outside. So you might hear our two competing roosters from various farms here. Ebenezer on one side yelling at Scrooge on the other. And they might be in the background, or once in a while the feral cats will come by and call out to me. They want to go play, or you can just hear the birds in the background. Finally realizing that spring is here. I don't know if it officially started yet, but close enough for me. Wonderful. Welcome to you. Being here as we are talking about a most exciting time. If you followed our podcast, I have been walking through verse by verse in the book of Revelation, giving you an idea of the many wonders of Revelation and the narrative here of looking both at heaven and then looking at earth, looking at the blessing of God and also the justice of God, seeing the fulfillment of prophecies way back from the Old Testament. And now here we are. As I said yesterday, there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. It's almost as if 1,187 chapters lead up as an introduction to this threshold, the permanent residence of the believers, the new heaven and the new earth. What God's promise has been down through the ages is now fulfilled, and we get a sneak peek. Think of it when you went to go look at that new home, and the real estate agent lets you take a look around, and you were excited about it. That's what we have here. There is a tour guide. Remember this? We are going to be seeing an angel actually take John around and look at it. It's the angel that was part of the judgments against the non-believers, will now be one of the guest hosts of the New Jerusalem, the description here. Wonderful time. We're looking at Revelation 21 and verse 4, a blockbuster of a verse here. Yesterday we talked about God walking with men and women of the faith. The redeemed will be able to have a personal dwelling with Yahweh himself through Jesus Christ. What a great, great passage here. And now we move on. But before we get going, let me take a minute or so and then give you a little bit of a background on what's been going on in our ministry here. Oh, I've had such a great time. The Heaven Tour has been traveling around the country. You can take a look on our map on our webpage, theheaventour.com, theheaventour.com, and go over to our travel map, and you'll see the areas I've been just since the beginning of this year. It has been just a great adventure. Just call me a circuit rider. Just in the old days, early 1900s, there were those, even in the late 1800s, those that would travel about, go on circuits and fill the pulpit, or else go and be a guest speaker. And that's what I'm doing. I'm on my second circuit right now and heading on out, and the next one's going to take me pretty far. On April 27th and 28th, I will be in Grand Junction, Colorado, speaking in a local assembly in Whitewater to what the leaders are telling me, the organizers, Miss Amy and her family, are organizing this. I'll be speaking to a college and career group, a youth group, family groups, and then flying back out Sunday night. So it'll be in on Saturday, out on Sunday. Wonderful time as we're all together. I'm actually having an organizer's meeting today with our good friends from Bradenton, Florida, where I'll be traveling down. And on Sunday, May 19th, I'll be speaking at the Palma Sola Botanical Gardens. These wonderful people, Miss Jenna, Miss Diana, they have brought together an assembly, a venue where I'm able to teach. We'll have our Heaven is Home conference there, And that will be on that Sunday morning, May 19th. Starts about 10 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. And these dear people are putting out food for visitors. I want to remind you, there is no cost for any of these things. We just go by this. If we pass the hat, if indeed the organizers want to. But I go by, if God has called me to be with you, then give me a yell, set up the venue, and I'm on my way, okay? And so I've been up to Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, over to Texas, into Louisiana, et cetera, et cetera, all here through South Carolina. Boy, what a great time that has been as well. Just being here in the state of our new settling. We came over from Tennessee about 2 Julys ago. And boy, I just really love the traveling. Just came back from over in Newberry, South Carolina, in our Front Yard Heaven is Home conference. That was a great time, too. So I want to invite you to take a look over. We are in need. As I said, we are approaching very quickly 250,000 miles on the current vehicle, and it has undergone a lot of maintenance. And so our wonderful friends over at acornglobal.org, they're actually a ministry that raises funds or organizes the raising of funds for other ministries, and they don't take a penny. They are wonderful people. Dr. Rick Cross called me and said, can we handle that? You've got enough to do, Brad, on traveling and writing and live streaming. Let us handle the handling of your funds and raising the funds. So they said it, and they said, listen, if you're going to be able to get a car as roadworthy, and we're all talking about a used car now, used vehicle, but one with lower mileage, we're going to start it at $12,500 as the need. I want to tell you right now, we are at $10,500 in gifting, and many of it's from the friends that are listening to this podcast, and I want to thank you. I believe that puts us at, if I can remember, at 84% of our goal, and thank you so much. If you'd like to give to that, they are a 501c3. We are a 501c3. Your gifts are tax-deductible gifts, and you will receive a receipt from them on that. You can go to Acorn, A-C-O-R-N, acornglobal.org, acornglobal.org, and you will go over to the top and look under projects, click on it, and you'll go down and you'll see where our project is. I want to thank you so much. We're just absolutely humbled by this, and I want to give you reports as I travel to let you know that your gifting has been put into use immediately. Thank you so very, very much. There's more I could say, but let's get into it. We're talking about Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21, we have a beautiful, beautiful narrative here as we go through. Let me read here, first of all, starting in Revelation chapter 21. And today I'm going to be reading from the ESV. We rotate, as you know, rotate different translations. And today I will read from the ESV. I'm going to start in verse 1 and then take us down so we can follow this in context, which is always important. This is always important, okay? Revelation 21 and verse 1. This is John the writer as he's on the Isle of Patmos, and he's talking about in his vision, he has now seen the eternal state, the forever residence of the believers with God. Verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Wow, isn't that something? We have just an avalanche of blessings that are here. Let's go through this and talk about this. The first thing that I want to bring to you here is God is a God of the individual. We don't get saved by state, by region, by nation, by culture. We go one to one. Luke 19:10, remember that God has sent, Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save the lost. And when we start looking in the scriptures, we see the emphasis on the individual's responsibility to go to the Lord for salvation. John 3:16, whoever believes, whoever, not which nation or which grouping or corporation, whoever. Revelation 3 and verse 20, I stand at the door and knock, at the life's door of the person. If anyone, any person will open the door, I will come in to this person, all right? Emphasize again and again. And then we also see this here. God will wipe away every tear. The emphasis upon this blotting out use of this term here means the individual tears and the individual person. Look back in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' first public sermon. What does he say? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And haven't we seen this here? In direct contradiction to that, in contrast, may I say, to that, then we see this. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12, what does it tell us? The sons of the kingdom, which means those ones who believe that they are super religious or they can walk around and set their own way of religiosity or faith, they're called the quote-unquote sons of the kingdom, Jesus says. We're talking about the Pharisees mainly. Will be cast into the outer darkness. Now, what will happen there? In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a difference that we see here. There shall be no more death. Now, think about that. When we go to Isaiah 25 and verse 8, what does it say? Death will be swallowed up. What a wonderful term, swallowed up. Galumph, it's just taken up. The Hebrew word is almost like an onomatopoeia, just taken up here. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 4 really looks at death in a figurative way and says, well, where's your pain now? Where's your thorn? Where's your sting? You and I have been at a funeral, at the graveside, receiving the call of a lost one on the phone or somebody bringing us the bad news, and it hurts, doesn't it? And it's just so grieving. I remember, oh, how many years ago was this, when our senior pastor, Tom Craig, over in Tennessee, had announced that he had advanced cancer. 12 weeks after he had announced that, he was with the Lord. And although we knew he was in heaven, the human condition is we mourn his loss. And I can recall, as the casket came down the aisle, oh, it's still hard for me to tell you this right now, on the loss of such a dear man who was very near my age, my senior pastor, and I can remember sitting with a spiritual mentor, just bowed over in the pew afterward, just crying deeply, deeply how I missed him so much. And I do still. But knowing, as the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we mourn, but not, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. We will be reunited. So it takes the sting away. It takes that thorn away. When we see this, we see this death is, it even touches into the millennial kingdom. Although we will say this, in the millennial kingdom, which is a precursor to the eternal kingdom, it will tell us there. No longer will there be in it, in the millennial kingdom on the earth, prior to the eternal state, no longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. It's almost like, This one, he died at 100, that young? And so we're talking about the permanency of, the longevity of the believers and the wonder of being able to see this long life that is being given in the millennial kingdom, just as as an appetizer to the eternal life that is given to the believer. Shall not perish, John 3:16. We see this. What did it say? Whenever we were looking at way back, and what did it say during the course of Battle of Armageddon? During this time, we see in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14 that what was cast into the lake of fire, or may I say in the figurative sense, who was cast into the lake of fire? Yes, you're correct. Revelation 20 and verse 14, that death and Hades, the physical realm and the spiritual realm, of the cessation of the blessing of the Lord, death and Hades. Think about the fourth rider in the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It was the only ones going by name. Death and hell followed him. They're gone. They are defeated. They were in the old. All things have passed away. Didn't it say that? All things have passed away. And so what did we see? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. Isn't that amazing? The last enemy to be abolished is death. And when we see this, one thing that I do like to do, please understand, it's for historical purposes, but I do like going to see graveyards. I was told this the other day, and in a bit of trivia. I didn't know this. If it's a cemetery is really, it is not attached to any church. If it is attached to a church's property, that's called a graveyard. I don't know why that's important to me. I just found it interesting. And when I take a look at the cemetery and we're looking at this place, they tell me the etymology of the word cemetery is really giving you the idea of this is a resting place. When we see this, this won't be involved. All of the acreage that take up the massive sites, I remember in Halls, Tennessee, walking through a cemetery which held Civil War soldiers, or going over to Cades Cove in Tennessee, and then seeing over there those that had died way back, 1800s, there, and seeing the many families there and little ones who died in infancy, too. And then coming over to Mississippi, Tremont, Mississippi, on Decoration Day, the pointing out of the different, up the hill, the different eras of the cemetery graves, you could tell them, well, they won't be there. The acreage will not be used for death on the new earth. There, and because of that, one of the reasons why we see there's no more crying. When we see there is great joy whenever we start realizing Jesus has won. Jesus came down in fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 10 after the victory at Armageddon. Feet settle on the Mount of Olives, walking across the Kidron Valley through the Eastern Gate in fulfillment of Ezekiel 44's prophecy, and is now established as the king on the millennial earth. And Jeremiah 31 verse 13 says, "Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young and the old together. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow." And so that's when the realization is that the believers are winning. Jesus is showing his strength here. And all the other things of defeat and all of the sadness that we have seen, oh, those are former things. And that's what it says. The former things have passed away. You can kind of say this as you look into the Greek. The first things, all right, because of the word prota, you get the word prototype. The first things. Oh, they've departed. They left the building. You know, I can recall, I've heard this many times in the sports world, but Elvis has left the building. The game's all wrapped up. And I think about this. This has left the building. They have left heaven and earth. Revelation 21 and verse 1. When heaven and earth passed away, all these other things, all of these things have gone. Those are, and I'll remind you, the things which we see are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. And when we see these temporary things, these tangible things around us, these are going to go away. Well, there's more I want to share with you, but I've got to get ready for our class, our live stream class here. I'll continue on with more talk about Revelation 21 and verse 4, because this is rich in meaning, and I don't want to just cut it off here. It is so beautiful to take a look at this and say this. The cause of crying, one of the major causes of crying, not limited to, one of them, is death, and that's gone, and so is the crying. And there won't be any crying because of disappointment or unfulfilled dreams or acrimonious relationships or falling and foibles of the person. All of these things are gone. We are in a presence with the Lord, in a relationship, or a frustration. I want to pray to you more solidly, Lord, and understand and feel your presence. And I just can't, and there's a great frustration. Oh, that's no more. These promises are just the beginning. No wonder it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, although verse 10 says the Spirit will reveal some things to us, we can agree when it says, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, that we have really beyond our imagination the promises of God for those who love him. He has prepared things which we've never seen, never heard, and have no absolutely any idea. We have no idea whatsoever in our imagination of the joy that God the Father has prepared for us. Wonderful promises, and we thank God the Father for these promises. God who cannot lie, Titus 1:2, it's impossible for God to lie, Hebrews 6:18, and these are the promises he gives us. Hey, thank you so much. This is Brad with the Heaven Tour, and this is the Questions About Heaven podcast. If you would like to receive one of our t-shirts, which our wonderful friends in Hamilton, Alabama have made for us, I have a whole box of them. I'd like to give them away. If you will write me snail mail, if you will write me to our post office box, I'm going to put the first five will automatically receive one of our t-shirts. Write me a paragraph on how our ministry has helped you. I can take it to our mission board. Let them see in your own handwriting how this ministry has helped you. And then the first five will automatically receive a shirt. So make sure you put your shirt size on the bottom. For the rest of them, then I'm going to get a second batch here and then pull them out as we're just taking them out at random, and I'll send you some gifts there. So you want to write The Heaven Tour, Post Office Box 795, Pickens, South Carolina, 29671. One more time. It's The Heaven Tour, Post Office Box 795, Pickens, South Carolina. That's P as in Paul for Pickens, South Carolina, 29671. Hope to hear from you, and I hope that you get the t-shirt too. They're beautiful, wonderful. And I thank you so much for us to be able to come together and to see these promises of the Lord. Take care, God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.